At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits, so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Agbabola, Agbabola. How much is money?
It's nothing.
Balling, balling.
Alapa.
Premium or nothing.
Them or nothing.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Welcome back, everyone, to Couch Chronicles Therapist After Dark.
I love being on this couch now.
Right. It's been good. It's been a really nice season. So Let's keep it going. Let's start with some mindfulness. I want to do a simple mindfulness today. Down regulating practice of the 5-7 breath. So I'll count it off for us as we go along, and you all can just sit back and participate.
Okay.
I'll ask that you get into your mindfulness position. You can close your eyes if that feels good to you, or just take a little gaze. Notice your body on the surface beneath you. And make any final adjustments for comfort before coming into stillness. We're going to be practicing the 5-7 breath today. Inhale for 5 and exhale for 7. Start with 5 breaths together, beginning with clearing the lungs with an exhale. Inhale 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and exhale. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale. 3, 4, 5, and exhale, 7. notice your breathing. Take a moment to notice what your body might feel like in this moment. Begin to notice the surface beneath you once again. You can invite some movement into the space, a little stretch. And when you're ready, gently blink the eyes open. All right. Quick breathing exercise. What did you ladies notice about yourselves during the practice?
I had a hard time with the initial counting off. I think I had a hard time on like the inhale. I was like,
same here.
Oh, I gassed a little bit too much air in the initial 1 to 2 seconds that I was like,
Where did you notice that in your body?
It was like definitely throat to chest area for sure. Yeah. Where I was like, oh, there's not enough air or space. And I'm trying to like fill the top of it. And then on the exhale, that also was a little bit longer than I initially expected in terms of like how much breath I was letting out. However, significantly less discomfort or I guess feeling of not enough space in the inhale versus the exhale.
Okay. So did you ever make any adjustments to the practice to experience any more ease? Did you just stick with it? What was that like for you?
I would say that I didn't like change the position of my body, but I definitely slowed down the inhale pace that I was taking it in the beginning. And then that then kind of like was a rippling effect in terms of like how I felt more comfortable in the releasing of the air during the exhale.
Sure. So I'm hearing that it kind of naturally slowed your breath down enough to give you more space with the count. Nice. Yeah. Thanks for practicing.
Thank you.
What about you, Jane?
Like Stephanie, originally I felt like I took a real deep breath in and I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, so the inhale became more difficult. And then the thought around like, girl, you might need to do that. You know, when you go to the doctor, like you have surgery, they give you that blow.
Yeah, the breath.
The breath machine, whatever thing.
Test your oxygen.
Like, right. I said, well, you might need to practice that more. Like this is it's a little bit rough, like with the inhale. So that was like, not necessarily judgment, but just noticing like, over time. And then I got a little dizzy, so I slowed myself down a little bit with the inhale. And I'm like, okay, slow down. You need to like open up a little bit. So I kind of like slowed down and did my own counting to kind of like not keep up with like what you were doing, because I noticed that part. But other than that, there was some discomfort, I think, in my inhale, but I adjusted and just noticed. And just kind of engage.
Okay. So it sounds like you just set with the practice.
Yeah.
And as you got into it or went further along, things became a bit more, less difficult.
Yeah. Over time. I did what works.
Nice. Thank you for participating and doing what works.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you all for practicing mindfulness with us.
Yes.
Let's get into our episode. Yeah.
What would be a good conversation
today, ladies?
We're going to talk about avoiding attachment.
Ooh.
Attachment
style. Avoiding attachment. Yes.
Attachment style.
Is that my calling card?
Honestly. Buzzwords. Hot topic.
Right. Okay. So let's jump into our confession. I've been talking to this guy on and off for a long time. It took several years to get him to go on a date with me. Every time I try to make plans with him, he would literally say, yes, I want to go on a date with you, but then he'd postpone and postpone again. And then we would stop talking for 6 to 9 months. So at this point, we've officially gone on one date, and now we're talking again, and he's already postponed on our second date. I'm sure I sound insane for having so much patience. Why try so hard to make things happen with this guy? Obvious reason, he's hot. A literal 10 out of 10 in my eyes. The level of attractiveness that I want to marry. After all this time, all this standoffishness, always showing just barely enough interest to keep me thinking that we could be something someday, it has finally dawned on me that he's got the avoidant attachment style. I myself have a secure attachment style.
Interesting.
I'm single and actively looking for a serious relationship, ideally with someone I could see myself marrying at some point in the future. My thought now is that pursuing someone with an avoidant attachment style could inevitably lead to endless frustration. If I keep trying with this guy, he'll keep running away and breadcrumbing me. The simplest thing to do is cut him off permanently, and I think most reasonable minds would agree I should do this. But I just want to ask if it is possible for avoidant types to be in successful relationships. If so, how does their partner deal with their attachment style? Details you probably won't want me to leave out. I'm a guy. He's openly gay, and so am I. So there is no issues with either of us hiding in the closet or anything sketchy. Also, there's an age gap. He's the younger one. But for the sake of this discussion, let's please not chalk up his behavior to immaturity. Well, well, well. Thoughts, folks?
Interesting. I have questions for the confessioner, I guess. I am curious about what makes them feel like they have a secure attachment style, particularly with like receiving breadcrumbs. That is often aligned with a more insecure attachment style. But yeah, let's get into that conversation. What is even avoidant attachment?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, Jay, your face is doing a lot of things. I don't want to jump that. What are your thoughts on this person reporting on their relationship?
There's a reason why a lot of people are single. That was my thought.
Please speak more.
Because here's the, I think the humanness out of dating actually comes out where we are in our head about people and trying to like figure people out and what are the, you know, what does this behavior mean? What does this mean? When the truth is, to your point, an insecure person actually starts to really point out how different behaviors can suspect. Can be of something.
Yeah.
A secure person would say like, hey, I'm interested in seeing you more, but I don't see that you know, you haven't called or are we good?
Yeah,
or are you still interested?
That.
And if the person said yeah or nay, like it wouldn't be this like,
you wouldn't be breadcrumbing it.
It's investigating. It's like,
yeah. It's also, it's categorizing, like you're saying, yeah. Trying to figure out what it is. Also, a question that comes to mind is, aside from the physical attraction, they fit the aesthetic of the person that I said I was going to marry.
And that was also the concerning thing to me, too, right?
Like, thing to me was
there was
that.
Not a lot of substance within the relationship, but you have equated this to someone who that you want to be married to.
Aesthetically.
So like, it's an aesthetics thing. So how secure is your attachment when you're not even really looking for those more in-depth connections?
Yeah, so shallow, like this person is kind of thinking about, for them, they have a list of hot items that they want or characteristics or traits they want from their partner. And for them, it is physical stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're banking their whole relationship on that thing being met. However, that surface level, underneath it, there isn't any consistency.
Right.
They said, I believe there's a year.
Doesn't seem like there's very much interest. They only have one date.
Yeah.
Like,
but here is the thing also, right? A lot of people want to be in a relationship, get a relationship for these, the list that you have of what a partner should be and how they, what you're desiring in a partner. Some of these things, you'll be amazed how a lot of them focus literally on physical trait and aesthetics rather than values and character.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we miss the ball, is that there's nothing wrong, by the way, by having a physical trait requirement, but be very mindful if that's your top main focus, then the other things, emotional connection and the other core values,
you may be
as relates to, yeah, and just be open for that being something that's not met. And also, if you, letting a year go and still trying to figure out where you stand with somebody, to me, that's absurd. And that's the attachment part where it's insecure.
That's it. That's it. That's
so after 3 or 4 dates, 3 months, whatever it is, if it doesn't work, keep moving. Don't make this person your only option. But you're spending a lot of time trying to figure them out and or categorize them.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
That's the part where it's a concern for us.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add to the fact that you said that the year timeline, right?
Yeah.
This person, the person that wrote in this confession, mm-hmm. is engaging in what I will talk about later, which is an activating strategy that's keeping them mm-hmm. in connection with this person that's yeah. not giving them subsequent energy yeah. back, right? They're thinking about it. They're categorizing. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And all this thing does is keep the body continuing to seek out this person, want this person, despite the facts, the reality.
But, and the truth is,
it's like a slot machine.
It goes back to what is wrong with me,
right?
That you are not committing to me, that you don't see me the way that I see you. So now, part of avoidance and deflecting is that, let me put the issue as you're the one with the issue.
Sure.
You're the one with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's what it's reading. It's that mm-hmm. you really questioning your own internal core senses around, like, am I enough?
Yeah.
And that's why the person is outlining all these things.
Yeah.
And really, it doesn't have anything to do with your sexuality, if I'm honest, you know, or the age thing. Because you could find someone that's younger that is very as much mature mm-hmm. as where the older person is the one that's immature.
Sure.
So I don't think age and sexuality plays a role. I think the question is a sense of self and who you are mm-hmm. in terms of how do you feel about you, sir? Like, what is going on with you?
Yeah.
That you may still need some work.
I mean, even reading the letter, I am curious if we would even, I would even say that the partner has an avoidant attachment style.
Agreed.
I am curious around, like, how connected is this person to you? And I'm a firm believer in people like take whatever it is that you're giving, right? So mm-hmm. if you're willing to accept crumbs, then people are willing to
give you crumbs.
Give you crumbs.
I'm here with you.
I actually am on the side of the confessor in the fact I do believe that their partner has an avoidant attachment
sure.
because our reader has an anxious attachment style.
Mm-hmm.
They care about being chosen.
Mm-hmm.
That's really mm-hmm. what this person mm-hmm. is my top tier number one mm-hmm. desire. Mm-hmm. And they're not choosing me. And I'm sticking around and waiting for them to mm-hmm. choose me. The things that they're talking about in reference to what the partner is doing, like I call it foot on the gas and on the brake at mm-hmm. the same time. I want to get closer to you. But then when that opportunity happens, I'm now backing up because now I feel like encroached upon. Now I feel
yeah.
like you are crowding upon me. So I think that he is at least accurate in labeling his partner.
Good.
And that is also something who is anxiously attached. They're really good at being able to pick up on all these lovely
yeah.
cues.
They notice
yeah,
the
shit. The point is
as a recovering anxious attachment style.
Exactly.
I've definitely been there. So I want to talk a little bit more, kind of backing up. What is attachment theory exactly for our listeners?
You know, as I like to say, they said it was created by psychologist John Bowlby. But I always like to say that that's what we're told. But that doesn't mean that's necessarily what it is.
Ooh.
But but that's just my only side of it. But it was created out of basically when we were born innately, that we have babies turn to develop a sense of attachment to their caregiver, mm-hmm. their caregiver. And a baby with a secure attachment, that means their needs are met, that they also feel okay and secure. Like, they did a whole study around, like, if the parents or the caregiver leave the room, how does the child respond? And over time, I think it did it through and through. Now, how this plays a role in terms of relationship is that someone who was raised in a household where their basic needs were not met, it's not only physical needs, it's also emotional needs yeah. as well. So someone who, a baby who had to cry longer before they were picked up or before they were fed, or who stayed in soiled diapers for a long period of time, most likely will end up developing an insecure attachment style. And or if you grew up in different type of volatile home yeah. or if your parents were gone for a long period of time, there's no explanation, they were just in and out.
I think that can on the develop. Other side of that too, right? Like mm-hmm. parents like over coddling and overcorrecting as
exactly.
well, right?
Yes.
Like not allowing.
Side.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So that would be like that other side of not necessarily neglect to kind of like yeah. that hovering
exactly.
or helicoptering.
The overcrowding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So attachment theory is the study of how babies, adults attach and bond with their loved ones, mm-hmm. with the people that are important to them. This is yeah. your parents. These are your cousins. These are your friends. These are your coworkers. This yeah. can be your spouse. This can be a lot of different things. And so you talked about people who are securely attached. They had an upbringing where their parents were available to them, both physically and emotionally.
Emotionally yeah. Right. And also give them a sense of autonomy.
Right. Mm-hmm. They were attuned to them, right? When they cried, when they came to them, like mm-hmm. With problems, they were listening to them. They were able to give them some solutions while also providing them the space to figure it out on their own.
Right. Exactly.
Versus somebody who is insecurely attached, their upbringing is kind of riddled with chaos, stress, mm-hmm. unpredictability.
And that hovering that Tyler's talking about.
Right. The overcrowding. So the baby or the child or the teenager, it is not given the space to make mistakes.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They're not
to
given
learn.
The right to learn through, you know, frustration. They develop an anxiety about their ability to mm-hmm. Belong, their worthiness, their mm-hmm. their pretty much their identity,
their identity
in life.
Made to feel like their thoughts and their views don't matter as much. And also that there's a dependability on yeah. others to fulfill my
needs. That need, yeah.
Or count on me to fulfill my needs.
So let's yeah. talk about that a little bit, right? The avoidant attachment style specifically. How do we maybe develop that? And what does that usually look like in our romantic relationships?
Ooh, I can talk about that as the resident avoidant. So one of the ways in which that avoidant attachment develops specifically is when your parents were either put a lot of emotional weight on you.
On you, yeah.
Right? They may have talked to you a lot about their relationship issues. They might have vented to you about the issues that were going on at work. Your parents were also maybe very inconsistent in the ways in which they kind of like attuned to you.
Yeah.
Right? When you had a bad day, when you were sad, they were kind of like gutful. They didn't sure. know how to kind
respond
of like
emotional
soothe
needs.
You and things like that. Sometimes they would tell you to stop or get irritated with you when yeah. you would cry, or you would feel like your emotions were not going to be able to be held safely or securely with the people sure. around you because of their own emotional deficits. Like you kind of picked that up.
The idea of that they didn't care or it doesn't matter.
Yes.
And, I think, or deal
or
with
they
it.
Can't.
Too. Or deal with
they,
it.
They like
yeah.
cannot deal with it.
I think
like,
that shows up too as well as sometimes as parents just being preoccupied. Like preoccupation kind of can sometimes cause this unintentional neglect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like your mm-hmm. systemic things. Like my parent has several different jobs
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
like my parent is just having their own experiences,
yeah.
their own traumas, their own challenges, triggers, parents feeling overstimulated. And so sometimes it is like unintentional mm-hmm. and we still, the aftermath can be not so great.
Yeah, part. Definitely. And so you, in adolescence or in childhood, right, you kind of start to distance yourself mm-hmm. from closeness and you start to feel that emotions and, mm-hmm. you know, caring about other people is burdensome. It feels yeah. heavy. It feels kind of claustrophobic, and you want to, and you start to crave a more like rational, logical, clean
yeah.
kind of experience exactly. with the people that you relate mm-hmm. to. So I know exactly. for me growing up, I started to become more of the critical, logical, rational.
Sure. Very black and white.
I'm the person that's able to solve problems mm-hmm. without getting consumed by the emotional mm-hmm. heaviness of things.
Yeah.
For those of us who are in DBT or practice DBT, I was real reason mind with it, real rational mind.
That part, that's how
not
I was
a robot mind. At literally cold hearted, nonchalant uh-huh. were like adjectives that mm-hmm. were attached yeah. with my name. Yeah. And even though an avoidant can be cold or also feel like they are calculated or they don't care, mm-hmm. we care.
It's like a deep
care, and it's a silent, and part of the caring is also, I could also care from afar.
I would rather.
Or I want to protect myself from mm-hmm. caring too much, right? Like, it ultimately, having an avoidant attachment style really is like a coping strategy, a response, a trigger to protect yourself.
To put
so there is a lot of like, yeah, like a little lot of, I perhaps like there's some rejection sensitivity there that I'm really trying to avoid the feeling of pain, the feeling of someone leaving or neglecting my feelings in this moment. So there is a lot of like, I'm just gonna, I like you, okay, but I'm yeah. gonna stay here.
It's like, I like you, and that's like, I like you. Let's wait like 7 right. to 10 business days for that to like settle in, and then let's then move to it. The next step. Yeah. Because then if you start moving, then now I'm feeling overwhelmed because no one taught me how to feel this very visceral feeling that yeah. bonding and attachment.
Yeah, and fully yeah. participate in the relationship.
Right, like
yeah.
there's a thing that happens in our body, like there's hormones, there's neurotransmitters, there's yeah. things that go off in us that when we bond with people, and when you don't have a secure kind of place to develop that experience, when someone else outside of your level of mm-hmm. safety, like, triggers that in you, mm-hmm. you don't know what to do with that. You feel yeah. like this is wrong. This shouldn't feel this way. Like,
yeah.
the, you must be doing something that is not yeah. right. So then I want
to
leave.
Well, yeah. So back to the confession. So if you're looking at that standpoint, someone with an avoidant style and someone with an anxious style is the fact that they're going to stay far away the minute you start showing a dependency yeah. for me to meet your emotional
needs.
So it's
needs. A lot of this. Like, I'm
so
chasing.
If you keep calling me, if you keep wanting to go out, if you keep saying, hey, I'm not getting anything from you, or you, if you need that constant reassurance, an avoidant person be like, yeah, this is too much for me.
Too
I can't
much.
Do it.
Accurate. I'm yeah, literally, I'm trying to run out the house. I'm trying to crawl out the house. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out
yeah.
how to get away because my system is very overstimulated and overwhelmed.
Exactly.
And it doesn't take mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
That's also the very sad and also very kind of like unique thing about it. It doesn't take much for our system to immediately seek safety away.
Right. And so part intense. Of that real quick though, I yeah. wanted to add is also around the fact that an avoidant person, you also have to think about and was holding the weight of a lot of people's emotion on them. So when they get in romantic relationships and I get a partner that should be a secure and safe space, but doesn't feel like secure. And then you start telling me what I'm doing wrong, how I'm not showing up for you.
Yeah.
I'm not holding space. That's an avoidant person be like, yeah, okay.
It's too much work.
It's too much.
Too much.
I don't want to get in the way of your happiness. Yeah. Find someone that can be that person yeah. and exclude it because their learning history is showing up around, mm-hmm. oh, you're going to require so much of me and so much of that dependency. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in this moment, I'm just going to like, let me back
and
up.
And I'm not enough.
And
that's it. I can't measure up. I can't meet that
like
expectation.
You said I was holding all these things and I didn't feel like I was doing a good enough job because they kept mm-hmm. bringing mm-hmm. back to me. Mm-hmm. They kept giving it over yeah. and over.
Because if
I'm like over here, like being with someone who is avoidant attachment, like not in my current relationship at all, but like, yeah, I would say like in the past being with an avoidant attachment is just such a mindfuck
mm-hmm.
because it is. I think also at the time when I was with that person, I also experienced my own anxious attachment style.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was so painful because it always felt like no matter what I do, no matter what it's going to be like, it's never going to be enough. Mm-hmm. If I'm pushing, you are pulling away. Mm-hmm. It's like a tug of war that kind of warps you into thinking like, mm-hmm. it's me.
It's you. Exactly. So for me, you know, I'm a Leo. So, you know, I was on a disorganized style, you know, my life.
Well, yeah, I've gone
around. It's so crazy because I always think that you're securely attached. Like, I was literally coming up here.
I build it up.
But back in the day, she's a runner. She's a track star.
Yes. Yes. So back in the day, I was disorganized as F. Okay.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of. And there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Who's a little bit of anxious? Okay, I'm into you, da 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 da. But if you are not giving me what I want, I already know, fuck it. I'm good without you. Even though I'm still like, okay. Or if you feel like I'm not showing up the way you want me to show up, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to disappoint you. Fuck it. Just go. Let me do you. Always. So for me, I was always tithering, and it was always confusing for my partner because they're like,
where do we stand?
Okay, so are you with me? Right. I was in a 12-year relationship, but I know I fucking drove you that's crazy. But it was in the sense of like, so are you in or are you out? Like, what? And it was always confusing for him, who was strictly avoidant. Like, so, but you know, also secure, end up being secure once I think I settled in my security. I think he came in secure, but I think because of my disorganized behavior, I feel like I made him like insecure. But once I settled into my secure and know that, okay, this was a constant. This is like someone that I could depend on, like, you're not going to leave.
You bring up a great point there.
Yeah. You're not going to leave. And, you know, it didn't feed into my abandonment issues that I have. And he was consistent. Yeah. Then that brought a sense of security. Then I ended up doing work on myself in order to be okay in this relationship.
I think that you bring up a great point, right? How, like, being with different partners or, like, those different, sometimes different attachment styles will bring out different things, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the relationship that I'm in now, I have much more of a secure attachment. And sometimes it's hard for me to even believe that I ever accepted crumbs.
Yeah.
And that I was like in the space where I was like, what's wrong with me? Because this person is like not giving me the things that I know I absolutely deserve. But I even also think about how that shows up in other relationships. Like, coworkers and like my parents and things like that. I definitely have a much more avoidant style in those spaces.
Yes, you do. Can I? And I want to also add.
You know, I was like, in my head, I was like, yes, the fuck, fuck.
Right. Yes, you know, you got me. So just wanting to say a couple of things there, right? So first, like, avoidant attachment shows up in any, like, circumstance, any arena where there's other people.
Yeah.
Like that's really when it shows up. It will.
There's risk, threat. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. So, okay. Avoidant attachment, we talked about the romantic setting, is that it'll look like they're playing games, right? It feels like, oh, well, once I step forward, now you're stepping back. And once moving forward, it feels like all of those different things. Now, in friendships, or let's start off with the workplace. I think that's a little bit of an easier way to kind of transition. Yeah. So in work, an avoidant attached person, their biggest threat is when somebody is encroaching on their autonomy or their independence, or someone is placing things on them that they did not willingly take on for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. I have a big issue with this part of myself because my lovely friend over here, we work together and she loves to celebrate and tell people about my gifts.
Uh-huh.
She loves to tell people about the things that I'm good at. I am very hush-hush about the things that I'm good at. I don't like people to know things about me because inevitably then people start asking things of me and I don't like that.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, becoming friends with this lovely human over there, it was a lot of exposure therapy around like sharing my gifts with people and not feeling this overwhelming like claustrophobic
but
feeling
remember,
that people
I remember
are looking
your
at me
first
and
going, like, measure up. I remember your first one, like, why did you say that? Why would you tell
yes!
me? Why did, like, I was like, wait a minute.
That's
I said, why are you getting... Now they okay, Jake. Fine, fine. I guess let me think about it. You used to be so like robotic. With
I
them,
think
like,
I'm like that too. I mean,
so now yes,
I'm very polished at work. I think that it's just like a habit. Honestly, I don't. Yeah. It's not that I'm like not authentically myself, but I just think that there's just some boundaries that I have at work that cause me to be that same way. Like
but, and
I'm
and
very
also,
formal.
I think,
like
yeah,
an avoidant
person at work want to do their job, want to get paid. They do everything right, what is required of them. They're just not going to expose themselves.
They're not
going to
share. That's the thing.
They're not
going
to expose themselves to more. So when it came to like getting closer to both of you.
That's what I
think. Getting closer to both of you was a challenge around, like, I remember I walked
thanks
in.
Thanks for sticking
and
with
I'm
us,
like,
girl.
And I was like, hey, I was like, ooh, she's tall. She's pretty. Like, was she like a model or something? And she's like, hey, how are you doing? I'm Stephanie. And we like, I was like, oh, I'm Jay. And it was very like, I was like, okay. She's like, okay, well, let me get out of here. And then just left. And I'm like,
yeah, like literally like a genie in a bottle gone.
Okay. And I remember Orange. I talked about it in the podcast before with Tyler. It was more like, Ty was like, hi, how are you doing? I'm Tyler. I'm going to be taking this case. All right. Nice to meet you. Okay. I read the notes. Thank you. Okay, all right. I said, well, let me get the fuck out of here then. I said, the fuck?
Like we're very cut and dry. Like, it's very cut and dry. It's like, this is what I'm here for. Yeah. I'm not going to step outside of the lines. I know I have a couple...
Parameters are important.
Like, I've definitely been around a couple people who also are avoidant, because I'm an avoidant attachment at work. I know that. I'm definitely working to be a bit more secure, but being around others who are avoiding attached, it's also a very interesting dynamic, because it's like... I know there's more there,
right?
And I know you're not telling me because that's not a sense of comfort. Like, but then it's like, I can feel, I'm like, oh, so this is how other people feel.
Right. I'm hella mysterious. I don't be trying to be, but I'm like,
you know what? You know what it is for me? I think growing up in a household when it came to like work, like how you show up and presenting and things like that, I would have to say like my parents did a really good job in that. So in my workspace, I've always, even in school, I've always had like a secure approach.
Right.
I think the way that I show up. So for me in the workplace, I'm just like, you know, I'm myself. Like it was, it was to me, it was easy and organic for that to happen and to show, I think probably the Caribbean part in a sense around like...
No, because you're so like authentically you. Like you're so authentic. And honestly, this goes back to our thing about like, where does these attachment styles come from?
Yeah.
My parents are very much, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to talk
about
this. You're not supposed to tell people all about this. Everything, your dirty laundry stays at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't open and share those things about yourself because then people can run around and had growing up.
Yeah.
People would run around and say things about my family, about my parents, and it would get back to other people. So there was always this constant fear of what information is going to get back out and how is it going to be used against me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, for me, as I guess the avoidant attaches, how is this stuff going to end up popping up in my face?
Yeah. But you know, it's crazy. I think my sister is like on that end around the avoidant part, around caring in that sense. But I think in work, in like schooling, she's like the modeled person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my brother and I exude the secure part around, I think when you grow up in a business family too, they taught you bullshit and they taught you how to sell yourself,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So for me, it was something that I think I was exposed to in that realm that was natural. I think when it's different, when we, like I said, in relationships, like friendships, I think that's where it was a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I approach friendships like friends are family, and then also had to learn boundaries with friendship because I fully give into who I am. But then also, if I disappointed a friend or if they're not happy with me or something happened, I used to like crumble like, oh my
really
God,
personalized.
Like, the abandonment. Yeah. Yeah. Stuff will come out. And that's where the insecure. Mm-hmm.
And that would be more of the anxious part of you kind of showing up versus me. Friendships ending were so guttural to me, but I would never show it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the avoid, like it would hurt me so deeply. But initially there would be that phase of like, I know that I didn't do anything mm-hmm. to like add pressure or break or do anything that was too much for this relationship,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But in the way, there was this kind of back and then was, is it that I'm not enough in some way? But that is so painful.
It is.
To like experience or to come in contact with that you just end up trying to get away from it and just like suffocate that feeling until you don't like feel it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've had some really like, like really hurtful friendships like crumble, and it really like pulls at the fabrics of like my security in terms of like you know how I show up for
that's a confirmation
people.
Sometimes too, like see this is why more, I
no, but it will validate myself. Sometimes, but it also will took me a long time to sometimes realize that I, even though I do have avoidant tendencies in like certain relationships, I was also very secure, and other people showed up with other attachment styles that would then push me to that more avoided space.
Mm-hmm. No, I think in my friendships, I didn't learn. I was super anxious, I think, when the way that I approach it. I went through a season where I literally, in my 30s, it was a huge blow up with a lot of group of my friends. It was a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
I literally, ended a lot of friendships or separated myself from it because of petty and foolishness and fuckery. Mm-hmm. And then also because of the fact that I found myself chameleoning who I was, which is the anxious attachment part, like changing who I am to fit different
into.
Spaces
yeah.
and realize this wasn't me and that being me was not okay for them
right.
since they have rejected me.
Mm-hmm.
So it came to a point for me where it was like, okay, if someone cannot accept who you are,
right.
it's more than okay for you not to be friends with them. It's more than okay. It's not that you have like shit towards them. I had a friendship who I've had in like middle school. We were really tight. I'm even like the godparent to her son. Something happened, even till this day as I'm talking to you.
You don't know.
I don't even effing know.
I've had that experience,
and,
too.
You know, she just, we even went to a mutual friend's wedding. You would think we never knew each other, like literally worked past each other.
Mm.
And I remember the friends group used to be like, well, you know, this person always give a warning. And it came to a point where I realized you actually don't care anymore, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is their thing and not your thing. And being okay that people don't have to, you know, some friendship was just for the season, that I didn't have to change who I am and that they're actually insecure and they don't respect me.
Yeah.
In terms of how I approach, and it's more than okay in how they view friendships, right? So I had to, and it really build a secure those friends, it really hurt for me to be okay with people leaving.
Yeah.
And that people leaving does not mean something is wrong with me.
I think that's a good point, right? That it is not a painless journey to becoming more secure.
Yes.
I want to back up a little bit too, right? Because what is maybe some like, avoidant attachment language that we might hear in relationships, like stuff
like, oh, you
like,
doing too much right now.
Doing too much, or like, what was it?
You being dramatic, you overreact.
Or not even that. Like going with the flow.
Going with the flow, laid back.
I don't like labels on things. I want to see where it goes.
Yes.
Right.
I want to see where things go. I don't want to put labels on things. Like, honestly, I think it's you. You're doing too much. You're putting too much pressure on things.
It's not that deep.
Why you always got to label? Like, it's just, there's always this... othering, putting it on the other person.
Or the part is like, I just want peace.
Yeah, be my keys.
I just want mm-hmm. peace. I don't want no right. chaos. You're doing too much right now.
It can mm-hmm. also sometimes look like with avoidant attachment and anxious attachment style, or maybe even sometimes like avoidant and avoidant style. Mm-hmm. Anytime one of the persons brings up a challenge or some sort of conflict or disagreement in the relationship, it's an argument.
It's
an opportunity for like, oh, now we're going to break up or yeah. like the relationship
and then
ending.
An avoidant person is that they'll have the argument and don't talk about it yes. and then pretend and everything goes on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was so going to talk a little bit about why that happened. It happens because inevitably when you do conflict resolution, you have to be vulnerable with somebody. Yeah. So for somebody who's avoidantly attached, you're now bringing me back in contact with the space that I want to so badly get away from.
Yeah.
So because in order for me to be open to you, I also have to open myself up to like your fragility and my own.
Yeah.
And so when we are like having a resolution, I cannot help but feel overstimulated.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of. And there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
...and overwhelmed, and it then be, I start doing deactivating strategies, which is just like things that create space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And create I remember...
space or create, honestly... create space, but also for the avoidant attachment, create safety.
It is.
In reality, it feels safe to be like, okay, I know that I have control in this space here. Mm-hmm. So like, we're over here.
Yep.
That person is weird because they're trying to come on over in my space.
Because I know for me, I used to win like arguments or when I would be angry with people, I would rather be on my own to then calm my system down and then we can revisit. But by that time, I have like, locked away the emotional part of,
or even the communication.
Like I'm already doing my own like soothing. I'm doing my own regulating, and then now it's like, okay, well, what do you have to say? But I did it all by myself,
and that looks like to the person on the receiving end that you checked out. Like you've completely dismissed what I'm trying to say or do to you.
Feels very like, and I didn't realize that it was like I was withdrawing at that time. I thought I was just finding ways because I also
take care of you,
to take care of me and also keep myself from blowing up.
Yeah.
I know for me, that was a lot of my fears that like, I don't want to blow up on you because the anger that I'm feeling, the rage, the thing that's swirling inside of me right now, I'm trying not to put it out on you.
Sometimes I think that too, right? Like when we are in relationships with people and there are these moments where I feel like I'm going to blow up, sometimes we like deny ourselves our reality by trying to suppress that.
And
that
then,
sometimes is also aligned with this idea of like, I'm not enough. I can't show myself in that way or I won't be accepted. Yeah. It won't be okay for me.
And that's definitely from that early wound because it wasn't accepted when you was back.
Exactly, because you need to ask me. Don't do that.
Kind of wrapping that part up around like, can someone with an avoidant attachment style have a healthy relationship? And the answer for me is yes, they can. And what happened is that it will start off as avoidant, but the more you build security and authenticity and safety for that person, allow room for vulnerability, allow room for their fears, allow room to just have discussion where they are uncomfortable, but be consistent with how they're processing, right? And also using things that work. So I know you don't like to engage in conflict, but this is not a conflict, but maybe we're writing and we're not talking, right? Those are different different ways I tell couples like to work with someone who has an opposite attachment style. If you're anxious and the person is avoidant, reminding yourself that as long as the person's still showing up, an avoidant person will keep showing up, because one thing, they are always consistent.
That's the window.
That's for you. They're not going to abandon you. Yeah. So you don't have to keep asking.
That's it.
With that constant reassurance of whether I'm enough. It's really noticing like, okay, they keep showing up. And now the fact that they keep showing up, what is up with, like, you can only control you. What do I need to build security with what they're showing?
I just had the biggest flashback ever, because I do remember like partners being like, I just like feel like you like don't like me, or like, you know, and I'm like, I'm literally here.
I'm in a relationship with you.
I said I wanted to be your girl. Like, what else do you want from me? I used to literally be so confused about that, not realizing that I was providing them surface of what it is that I guess that like I could give them, but I would have definitely responded a little bit better to that approach.
And I think that that a key thing that you all talked about here is that awareness. Like, people have to be aware of what their attachment style is.
Correct.
I also tell my clients all the time, like, you gain that awareness by collecting data. Yeah. You have to collect data within your relationship.
Yeah.
So you can identify with what works, what doesn't, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. Nobody is going to come with all the things together. It is unrealistic to feel like I am only looking for, and maybe, I don't know, maybe this is an unpopular opinion, I'm only looking for someone who has a secure attachment. But perhaps you might be looking for a unicorn.
Right.
I think it's more so like, am I working with someone, or am I connected to someone, whether that's like platonic or romantic? Am I connected to a person that is willing to grow, that is willing to increase their awareness of themselves and work on it?
Right. And that's exactly what it's about. It's about the growth of it all, because someone can start off with an anxious, with the disorganized, with an avoidant, but with the key thing is consistency in safety,
collecting that data on what is making me feel safe.
And someone with an avoidant attachment style, they've never technically been taken care of. A way to build security with someone with an avoidant attachment style is showing them like, I'm here for you. And they may not, don't be quick to think they're going to fully lean into it.
But don't look to be rewarded immediately after, bro.
So part of that is actually, you know, leaning into that and tied to what you're saying is around, when we're in relationship, it's not about fixing the other person or trying to figure who they are. It's really about, how am I showing up in this space? What do I need to work on? What is this person bringing out of me that I may need to take a closer look at? And saying these things to yourself does not equal to I'm a problem or I'm the issue.
Yeah.
It's simply saying that the response that I am seeking, I'm not getting. And why is that response important to me? And also acknowledging the fact that not only is why this response important to me, what's showing up for me with this interaction?
Right.
Yeah.
And then really being, you know, caught up in kind of understanding that perspective.
Sure.
So that's the part two we could answer before we move on to the listeners.
The listener letters?
Sure. So we can move on to the listener's letter. So the wrap up of that is, you don't have to be securely attached in order to have a meaningful relationship. Somebody who's avoidantly attached can change their attachment style through work and through a great partner.
And then most relationships do not automatically start with a secure attachment style. So be very mindful, though you may show up as secure, you may end up developing something different through whatever the insecure attachment style is. And also acknowledge that we all show up as we are. To Tyler's point, is that it's about opening and learning to grow.
Yeah. All right. Our listener letter. Hi, I've been low/no contact with my family for years due to a toxic upbringing. My dad is an alcoholic, my mom is a narcissist, and their constant fighting through me caused a lot of harm. I moved out at 18 and I've tried to set boundaries, but they're often ignored. They've shown up uninvited, they've guilt-tripped me and manipulated situations, like my dad visiting after I asked him not to, and my mom threatening wellness checks. I've since changed my number, but they're still trying to reach me, even sending packages to my address. I'm not confrontational. They made sure of that growing up. But I feel like my distance should speak for itself. Do I owe them a formal explanation, or is it okay just to move on in peace? Ooh, alcoholic father, narcissistic mother.
Interesting, right? Because I do recognize that, like, those things are very present, right? Like, perhaps your parents, that combination can be a very volatile space to grow up in.
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily disagree with the idea of no contact. I think also from a cultural perspective, community is just so big and so important for Black people in particular that it's hard for me to encourage people to go no contact. It's usually like a, what have we tried? How do we acknowledge and validate what's going on? Like, kind of checking the facts first before just jumping to, like, I need to find my peace so I can't talk to these people. I have to go no contact. I think sometimes no contact can be an avoidance and not as effective or aligned with your goal if your goal is to, like, be connected, have community and things like that. So,
yeah. So maybe because I lean more toward the avoidance style.
It's both ends.
Like, I honestly say no. You don't owe them a formal explanation. Yeah. Because when I think about the two character, like, the types of parents that this person is talking about, a narcissistic mm-hmm. mother is not open. A narcissist, forget the fact that their mother
is not going
to
be
there. They're not open to accountability, taking accountability. Yeah. They're not open to hearing a different narrative than the one that puts them in a certain light.
Yeah. Right.
And they want what they want over
your needs. And
then an alcoholic father, he already has some deficits in his ability to
unpredictable and unavailable.
Right. That's his availability emotionally, his availability even like physically because of how long he's been in his addiction.
Yeah.
All of those things are very limited. So when you giving them an explanation would only open the door for more disappointment, more kind of like
convincing.
Honestly re-traumatizing.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine that you have been in places from when you were younger trying to explain to your parents what you needed for them. But as they said, I'm not confrontational because I was never heard.
Yeah.
So I was never validated. So I say no.
I think too, like to the point of that, right? Like the I'm not confrontational, there is room to think about when it is appropriate to be confrontational. And perhaps you're right about the fact that like his parents not being in a place to receive. Mm-hmm. So what is the point of continuously setting this boundary and continuously trying to say that I don't want to have contact?
Well, I agree with everything that you guys are saying. And also, if you're in a season and a time where you need time to do your healing and have that separation from your parents, it's more than okay.
Yeah.
You know, and being okay with that. To your point, you don't owe an explanation. Giving an explanation would just feed into a narrative, like still trying to convince them or still trying to convince like, hey, I need this. Sometimes it is actually giving yourself that. So the no contact, I know it's tricky. And at the same time, if you find yourself being triggered or still not having your boundaries being respected.
Yeah. I'm even seeing this person writing in the letter as like you are having your own emotional experience around what it means for you to accept that like this is what I'm going to get with my parents. And so that's a hard thing.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to accept that like there's probably love there. Like these are the people that brought me into this world. So there is some guilt.
And be okay with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like for this person, I think that it really just is a matter of like if this aligns with your values, stand up.
Exactly.
Stand on 10 toes and this is what it is.
Maybe I'm feeling a little bit of like fragilization toward the person. But like when you're in that type of dynamic, you don't have identity that is not like
wrapped
porous.
Up in that.
I mean, like, your identity is porous because your mother and your father have told you and literally hijacked who you were meant to be, who they told you that you were supposed to be. So to me, I think that I'm proud of you for even being able to take the steps to create the space.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think about it a little bit like a DV relationship. Sometimes.
Yeah.
The escape part, the separation part is the
very
most
dangerous
painful thing.
Yeah.
And
well,
there
yeah.
is always a, like, trying to reintroduce or unite all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a constant kind of like reassurance and validation to you whenever it's brought up that, you know what, no, the things that I need are still important. The things that I said that I require are still important, and I'm accepting that they can't give it to me despite the fact that they want me to show up in a particular way to in order for me to get
exactly
a certain version of love that they gave me all my life.
Right. And then also them not giving it to you does not equal you not
don't
loving
it.
Them or they not loving you.
Yes.
You can still have love and express love for the your caregivers and people who raise you without that love being self-sacrificed.
And I do think it is hard, right? Because I think for our listener, perhaps they know that, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that is not the narrative that the parents will ever be able to understand.
Just, and
because
be okay
love
that they
looks a particular way to them.
Exactly.
But being okay is that constant radical acceptance of like people have got their limitations. Like I think that also kind of talks a little bit about what we talked about earlier, that having more secure attachment, like people's shit is their shit.
That part.
Conversation, guys. Enjoyed this. So we are going to wrap up. We would love for you guys to send us some more confessionals, send us some more letters about things that are going on. Where can they reach us?
They can reach us at couchchroniclestad@gmail.com.
Well, it was great having you guys on the couch. See you guys next
time. Bye, guys.